96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for joining me on this lovely day before Thanksgiving. This is my last show of the week. Won't be here tomorrow, of course, and not going to do a show Friday. So I'd love to hear from you today on what you're thankful for in the world of sports, if you want to join in. But I've got another question, too, that I'm going to ask. All right? We're smack dab in the middle of a really good college football season. Penn State's having a great season, has a chance to really do something special maybe in the college football playoff. What is your all-time favorite Penn State memory? All right? 946-0435. What is your all-time favorite Penn State football memory? We're going to make it football. We're going to do wrestling or basketball or anything like that. We're going to do football. What is your all-time favorite Penn State football memory? 946-0435 if you'd like to jump in on that, or you can tell me what you're thankful for in the world of sports. I'd love to get the phone lines lighting up today. I know everybody's getting ready for the holiday, and you got some other things to do. But if you have a few minutes, give me a call. We can have some fun with the Penn State memories. We had point-counterpoint columns in the Altoona Mirror today. Neil Riddell and I wrote our favorite Penn State memories. Neil wrote a good column on the victory over Miami to win the 1986 national championship. Obviously, a tremendous, tremendous performance in that 14-10 victory, picking off Vinny Testaverde five times. That was a great Miami team, and Neil pointed it out in his column. Listen to these statistics, all right? Listen to these numbers. This is how much better Miami was than Penn State. In that game, Miami had 445 yards of offense. Penn State had 162. Miami ran 93 plays. Penn State ran 59. Penn State completed five passes for a total of 53 yards in the national championship game and still won. As Neil pointed out in his column, if they'd have played 10 times, Miami probably would have won 9. But Penn State picked off Vinny Testaverde five times, and they won the one that mattered, 14-10, one of the great college football games really ever. So that was Neil's pick for his favorite Penn State memory. Mine, 2016 against Ohio State, the blocked field goal by Marcus Allen, the scoop and score by Grant Haley, a victory that stunned everybody. Oh, my gosh. I mean, nobody gave Penn State any chance to win that game. The 49-10 loss to Michigan a few weeks earlier. People wanted James Franklin fired. Trailing against Minnesota at home the week before. Everybody booing James Franklin. Then magic happened. Penn State came back to win that Minnesota game. Competed pretty well against Ohio State, but then got the miracle play on the blocked field goal. That's more than just a single victory or upset. That's the rebirth of the Penn State football program. That's the rebirth. See, this is what I pointed out in my column today. If you're under the age of 40, think about this, okay? If you're under the age of 40, you don't have the great Penn State football memories that older Penn State fans have. Older Penn State fans have, certainly if you go back to 68 and 69 with Joe and Mike Reed and those guys, those were undefeated teams. But then 73 and then, you know, 82 national championship, 86 national championship. But the 86 national championship was 38 years ago. 38 years ago. So if you're 50 years old now, you probably remember the 86 national championship. You're 12 years old. I don't know how much it meant to you at 12 years old. But so we have these two distinct differences in the Penn State fan base. If you're an older fan, you cherish all the memories with Joe and elite times in the 80s and national titles and all that stuff. If you're a younger fan, a lot of your memories center around disappointment. The program kind of falling apart, 2003, 2004. They got it back in 2005 with the great year in 2008. But then obviously, one of the worst sports scandals in this country's history, and the end of Joe's legendary career. And so if you're under 40, about the only thing you have to hang your hat on is 1994. Now, at that point, you're only 10 years old, too. If you're 40, you know, you're only 10 years old at that point. There were some other great memories. A buddy of mine was telling me about the Tomba Lee strip sack of Ohio State in 2005. That was obviously a great win, great memory, huge for that season as Penn State won the Big Ten title. But I look at 2016 as my favorite memory because that's a game, just an unbelievable upset and an unbelievable play, a play that you could never think could be duplicated. Wow, just really, just a miracle. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
George from Pinecroft.
What's going on, George? How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, my friend. Well, for us people who are over 70,
mm-hmm.
probably the best memories that a lot of us have of Penn State is the core values of Penn State. When Mr. John Cappelletti gave all the accolades of all his wins and what he did to his brother Joey.
Mm, that's great. Yep. Mm.
So that's probably a lot of guys like myself are 60 and going into 80s now. Remember that, okay? All the bad things that happened to Penn State that they did on, pulled on their own, actually, okay? Can't blame anybody but themselves with the scandals and et cetera. If you go back to the actual core of Penn State, Cappelletti would probably be the best.
Yeah,
the
only
I could think of.
50 years ago, the only Heisman Trophy winner in program history. I want to ask you this. You lived a really charmed existence as a Penn State fan for a long, long time. Going back to Cappy, obviously 86, the national title. It kind of dropped off pretty significantly after that for about 15, 20 years or so. Moving to the big, 94 was great, obviously. But
yeah.
Were you surprised after seeing Penn State be so dominant for so long? Have you been surprised that Penn State really kind of dropped off as much as it did for a long period of time?
Without lying to you, a lot of people say no. I say yes, I was surprised. Very much. I mean, some of the things that came out, Neil, in the last 20 years, you know, very surprising to myself anyway.
And I'm not even so much talking the scandal in as much as, you know.
Right. Well, let's just talk about the plays, the calls, the
yep.
coaches.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Stagnant.
Was I surprised? Yes.
Everything got stagnant for a long, for a number
sure
of
did.
Years. Yep.
I mean, I go back as far as Earl Sprome. We used to laugh at Earl and say, you know, up the middle, up the middle, up the middle, punt.
yeah, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, man. All right, buddy.
You're right, my friend. Okay, you have a good Thanksgiving.
Appreciate the call, buddy. You have a good Thanksgiving as well. 946-0435. Really good stuff there. I like that. Going way back in the day, Cappelletti's speech to his brother Joey, all that stuff. All right, 946-0435. You want to share your favorite Penn State memory? We will take your calls throughout the show.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
At Shoofly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoofly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoofly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoofly's fit specialists, visit their website, shooflystores.com. Shoofly. Your feet will thank you.
Stand by for a big announcement. The year is coming to an end. J&P Auto Mart is celebrating with a huge end-of-year blowout. The lowest prices of the year are happening now at J&P Auto Mart. Come in during December and save big on your new ride. J&P Auto Mart has one of the largest inventories of cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs in Central PA. They've been in business for over 60 years with big savings. It's the end-of-year blowout at J&P Auto Mart, Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you, all of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be in the room with real people kind of learner. So he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Oh no. My phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, yeah. Mighty, mighty Boston's. 946-0435. What's your favorite Penn State football memory? Want to share a trip down memory lane? Also, what are you thankful for in the world of sports? Penn State women finished off an overtime victory today over Drexel. Penn State won the game 86-78. Allie Campbell had another good game. Allie's playing real well. She's a very versatile player for Penn State. Led the team in minutes today. She played 43 minutes, so only missed a couple of minutes the whole game. Scored 11 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Great to see Allie Campbell coming back with a nice season after all the injuries and things she's had in her career. Good, versatile player for Penn State. Tell you one thing that I am incredibly thankful for. 15 years now I've been on the radio here. January will mark 16 years. It was January of 2009. January 5th, 2009 was the debut of the first incarnation of Sports Central with Corey Geiger. So a month and a half, it'll be 16 years I've been on the air. And I am tremendously, tremendously thankful for that. Folks at the previous institution gave me my start over there. And then when that ended, the great folks here, Bob Taylor, Andy Kreiser, and certainly Matt Leitner, allowing me to do this every day is tremendous. So I am tremendously, tremendously thankful for the opportunity to be able to come in here and talk some silly sports and have some fun. I try not to get it political. There is a political thing I want to discuss today. There's one political thing I want to talk about, okay? And it's not anything overly controversial in my opinion. It does seem like there is a strong, there's going to be a strong political move. You guys are just waiting to hear what I'm going to say. Does seem like there's going to be a strong kind of political move toward getting rid of daylight savings time. My gosh, it is so unbelievably long overdue. The fact that this still country still springs forward and falls back is absolutely absurd. It is the dumbest thing. Whatever purpose it served 50 years ago, it doesn't serve that purpose any longer. We've got to get rid of this nonsense. And again, I'm not going to get too political here, but it does seem like there are some people in places now. I'll give you a wink and a nod. There's some efficiency people in places now that are probably going to lead the charge here to finally and once and for all get rid of this stupid daylight savings time. So I read that news a little bit earlier today. That's something I'm kind of thankful for. All right, 946-0435 if you want to share any of your favorite Penn State football memories. I'm going to tell you some personal ones, all right? Here's some stories. Kick back by the fire. Good old Uncle Geiger is going to tell you some stories. All right, so this is 2006. Back in 2006, it's funny because everybody wondered for years and years who would be the coach after Joe Paterno. They were talking about succession plans going back to the 90s, you know. But I started, my first year on the beat was 2006. And Joe used to do this thing on Friday nights on the road. You've probably heard these stories before. Neil's talked about it. We've discussed them before many times over the years. Joe would sit down with the media, the traveling media for Penn State, at a hotel conference room or something on Friday night and just kind of shoot the bull for an hour or so. These Friday sessions, they were really good. He had done it for a long, long time. And when I took over on the beat in 2006, he was still doing it. Well, in 2006, Barry Alvarez, he was leaving Wisconsin, and Wisconsin was transitioning to Brett Bielema. And so Wisconsin had a transition plan, okay? Wisconsin, they had a plan to move on from their great legendary coach. And people wondered if Penn State would have any kind of plan to move on from their great legendary coach. Well, Jeff Rice, and I'm going to say Rice, because everybody makes fun of me. I usually say Jeff Rice. Neil makes fun of me. Rice, because that's my southern accent. Jeff Rice. So it's Jeff Rice, R-I-C-E. With the Center Daily Times at the time, he wrote a column in that newspaper comparing the Wisconsin situation to Penn State and talking about how Wisconsin had a succession plan and how Penn State needed a succession plan. This is 2006. Joe made it several more years. Shouldn't have, but did. At Wisconsin on Friday night, a group of about 12 or 14 of us are sitting around the table in a conference room the night before the game at Wisconsin. Now, the next day was when Joe broke his leg. Remember, Andrew Corliss and DeAndre Levy, the Wisconsin linebacker, they collided into him on the sideline. Joe broke his leg. That was the very next day, just so for a reference point. But the night before, we're sitting around the table. Some of us media members, Neil's there, I'm there, Jeff Rice from the CDT is there. And the story goes that Joe and Sue got the CDT delivered to their house. Okay, that was their local newspaper. They read the local newspaper. It was delivered to them. So if something appeared in the local newspaper, the Paternos could get the paper and actually read it. This is very, you know, this is still a long time ago. There wasn't anywhere near as much internet coverage, that kind of thing. So we're sitting around the table. Jeff Rice says something to Joe, and Joe looks at him and says, "You know, I just want you to know, my wife doesn't like you." This is my first year on the beat. Jeff Rice had written a good column about how Penn State needed a transition to the next coach, and that was Joe's response to it. "I just want you to know my wife doesn't like you." Great stuff. 946-0435. You want to jump in on the phone line with your favorite Penn State memory. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
J.K. Altoona.
What's going on?
My favorite Penn State memory was actually recent when Saban in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, honored Joe Paterno. He told the fans to stand up and give him a standing O on his entrance into the stadium. Do you remember that?
Back in 2010.
Yeah, do you remember that?
I do.
I thought that was a class act.
I do remember it. I was there. I was there for that game. The Alabama people were unbelievably hospitable. They were. Here's the thing, JK. A couple things about that. They were tremendously respectful to Joe. Tremendously respectful to all Penn State fans who came down. Respectful to us in the media. Now, the one thing about it is I've always said is Penn State really posed no threat to them. There was no risk in that game, so it's not like they were welcoming Auburn or Florida or anything like that.
So
I always wondered there's no way Alabama fans are that hospitable when Auburn and Florida come to town, but they were tremendously hospitable to Joe, to all Penn State people that went down there. It was a very, very fun trip.
That's interesting that you were there to comment on it. I'm going to ask you one more. I remember I was like 8, 9 years old in 69. When you talked to Riddell about the top 10, was one of them a goal line stand in 69 with Bear Bryant? Can you comment on that?
79. That was 79 against Alabama.
Okay, tell me.
Yeah. I don't know all the story. Penn State had the ball inside like the 3 or 4 yard line, and Alabama had a tremendously goal line stand. Mike Gooman, I think, ended up getting the ball last and was stuffed, and Alabama held on to win. That was a really crushing loss for Penn State.
Yeah, check with one of your others and try to get more detail on that because I was asking on that one.
Go ahead.
My favorite thing about Thanksgiving is football as TV entertainment. It's a time thriller. That's what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, sure. I agree with that. Go ahead.
And the Dodgers signing this Cy Young winner for that kind of money, it's just disgusting. No salary cap in baseball. Go.
Blake Snell is who the Dodgers are signing. And, the Dodgers – again, we view this from a Pirates perspective because the Pirates just don't spend any money. Meanwhile, the Dodgers can go spend $700 million on Shohei Ohtani. They can go get anybody that they want. It's an absolute farce what has happened financially.
Look who was in it.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Yep. Come on.
Yep. All right, thanks for the call, JK. Happy Thanksgiving to you, buddy.
What's next for Roger Penske after winning the 2024 Cup Series championship with Joey Logano?
You know, it's business as usual. I mean, we got to put ourselves in position. And Joey, you all know him. There's no harder worker on the team. And I think that, you know, when Brad moved on, Joey kind of took the leadership, you know, to pull it together. And he and Ryan have become good friends. They race each other every weekend. You could see it in Phoenix. But we run as one team, and I think, sure, there's pressure, but I think the pressure was on when I saw him running side to side in Phoenix. That was one area that I didn't – that was the pressure I had. But, look, I rely on our people, and when you think about, Mike Nelson and Travis Geisler and the team there, you know, they've been with us, you know, for a long time, and I think they give – our group the confidence that we can deliver. And a perfect example is when we had our jackman have an issue in the middle of Phoenix, you know, we were able to take the guy off the two and you never knew the difference. So I think that's that cross-pollination and that deep bench racing keeps me alive here. I gotta keep going here my age, but no, it's a tremendous, it takes a lot of effort, but the returns, they're not, you don't win every weekend, but the returns are so important, not only for the team, but for our business. So I'm fully motivated every week.
You're on the final lap.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for Watch and Tab. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Target Black Friday deals are here. And with up to 50% off gifts, you can make so many wishes come true. There's up to 50% off tech, video games, toys, and board games for gifts filled with wonder. Plus, up to 50% off small appliances, floor care, holiday trees, and so much more. You'll even save on all the essentials to get your house ready for the magic of the season. And there's free shipping when you spend $35. Save more on gifts with Black Friday deals. Happier holidays from Target. Restrictions apply.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hank FM.
Welcome back, 946-0435. Thankful for our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, for all their support of our program. You want to join us, 946-0435. Tell your favorite Penn State football memory. I got some more stories to tell you here in a bit. Or what are you thankful for in the world of sports? We got Dan on the line. My man Dan, what's going on?
Well, Corey, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you as well, buddy.
Well, I just come back from the women's basketball game at Penn State.
Okay, great. Yes, I just talked about Allie about 10 minutes ago. She had a really good game out there.
Oh, she had a marvelous game. And she played probably better than 3.5 quarters. And she was talking to the players and at the timeout. The coach let her talk, and you could see her talking, and she handled the ball real, real well. A couple of bad passes, but I bet she got at least a half a dozen rebounds and about 3 or 4 assists, and she moves real good. It was a great game. It went into overtime.
Yes, and she scored 11 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. That's a heck of a game all around.
Oh, yeah, you could see it and everything, and she just handled herself real well. Now, do you think she'll come back for another year, Corey?
I think she probably will. There's probably not a lot of necessarily professional options. She's had some injuries. Allie's a very, very bright girl. I'm not saying I know her tremendously well, but she's a very, very bright girl. And but I don't know that there's a lot of professional options overseas or anything like that. But she's had so many injuries in her career. It's been so tough for her. I would think that she would, as well as she's playing, I would think that she would probably want to come back and finish on a really strong note as a player.
Yeah, I really don't think she has a future overseas. I really don't. Just like you said, injuries is one of the big things. And she's starting to get a little older, but I think she has the ability to play.
Yeah, look, and here's the thing. Again, I'm not speaking for her necessarily specifically, but a lot of times kids just want to get out of college. They want to move on with their life. They want to get a job, you know, have a life away from college and everything. And so I could understand somebody in her position who's been in college for a long time if she wanted to move on. But again, she's playing better now than she has, you know, in a couple of years because of all the injuries. So because of that, it would not surprise me if she were to decide to stick around for another year.
No, she's a graduate student anyways.
I think she's got one more year, though, because she could have the COVID year. I believe she could have one more year left.
Okay, so she's not a graduate student.
Well, because she transferred, and there's a lot that goes into this kind of stuff, medical red shirts and these kinds of things. I'm sure she could probably get another year if she wanted to.
Now, she's still on a scholarship.
Yes.
Okay, Corey, well, then that's it. But I wanted to fill you in on it. It was a great game. I don't think there was 800 people there.
I just looked at the box score. It said 1,800, but you don't think that's right?
No, I don't think it's 1,800, yeah. Corey.
Very good. Appreciate it, Dan. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks, whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet. Everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Hank FM.
All right, we're going to close out today, go into the vault here. A few weeks ago, my buddy Luke Hetrick talking about Penn State in the playoff. Some of this might be a little older, but we'll see what's happening. Penn State's going to make the playoff, beat Maryland this week, and then head in probably as the number 6 seed. This is a great playoff discussion we had with Luke Hetrick a couple weeks ago. All right, let's head on down to Georgia. My good buddy Luke Hetrick, with the ABC affiliate down there, covers Georgia. He's in SEC territory, but he's a Pennsylvania boy with a Pennsylvania heart, Boiling Springs heart, St. Francis heart. What's going on, my man? How you doing?
I like the playback music, a little blues traveler.
That's right.
Talk the red and black, man.
Suck it in if you're Rin-Tin-Tin or in Berlin, the dumbest song ever.
You would never do that to karaoke because there's too much of a gap in it.
Well, right? You have to know the lyrics are so tricky, and you got to go so fast. But it's one of the kookiest songs ever.
It's a kooky song, and as I've learned from you time after time, the hardest song to sing in karaoke is?
It's a high note song. I don't know. What is it?
I was going to say it's American Pie.
Oh, hey, I can sing American. I can do that. It's 8.5 minutes. I know every damn word.
I know you can. You've also lectured me for years. It's an incredibly hard song.
It is a hard song. You know what? So the whole country is swept up, Luke, in this SEC Big Ten strength of schedule. Mine's bigger than yours. You haven't played anybody. We've played people, but we've lost. What's your take on Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss? They're beating the hell out of each other, man. They're playing tough people. Indiana's played nobody. Penn State hasn't beaten anybody yet. But Alabama lost to Vandy. Georgia lost to – I mean, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. So how do we decide who's a better team or not?
You don't – like, you have it in the playoff, and you'll figure it out from there. Look, you're looking for a perfect solution in a completely imperfect sport. The model that it's based on right now is just an expanded version – not even an expanded, but of the NFL playoff format. Your division winners, which are your conference winners, and that's fine if you have a sport that has true parity and equal opportunity, which the NFL does, because every year, if you're a fourth-place team, you're going to play a fourth-place schedule to try and balance it out. There's a draft. There's a salary cap. College football has none of that. And just to remind everyone in the SEC and the Big Ten who are now complaining of, why does Boise State get a bye? Why does potentially Colorado or Miami, a two-loss ACC team, whatever it may be, because you guys signed off on that. You were the ones that agreed to a first-round bye for the conference championship.
That's a great point, but you know what? Yeah. This is
talks, Corey.
James Franklin's been saying this a lot. They go into these agreements and these rule changes, and they don't think it through. You think that these things are run by smart people who can think of cause and effect, and this might happen, and this might happen, and this might happen. But here we are yet again in college sports where we've entered into this agreement, as you rightly put, and nobody seems to be prepared for this chaos. Why didn't they think of all this?
Well, it's the same thing of, oh, if we just expand it, it'll make a lot of the problems go away. We won't have an undefeated Florida State team getting left out. 2016, well, that Penn State team that finished the year red hot, beat Ohio State, won the Big Ten, well, they got left out, but they played a really hard schedule. But Washington, we'll just add more teams and give more opportunity. That'll create less problems. But no. Like, less is more here in this situation. And all it did was just magnify. It changed how many teams get in. It didn't change the thought process, and it clearly hasn't changed the criteria, because every week you have someone sitting here going, well, strength of schedule should be priority number one. Well, no, your record should be number – well, now it's the conference that you're in, and this whole conference bye thing is just messed up. The criteria was never set, and that's why you have people wondering, like Georgia, who has three top 25 wins against Clemson, probably has the best winning college football, going to Texas and winning by two scores, and it wasn't that close, and then beating a Tennessee team primetime at home. Well, they're going, strength of schedule-wise, we got number one in the country. We're 3-2 against the top 25. We've done that. But then you're looking at other people like Indiana, a Penn State. Is it the record? Is it just winning? Is it not having a quality loss? Is it so we have never been told clearly what the number one criteria is year after year. It changes from year to year
because they're human beings making the decisions. We've had, and Luke's a huge college basketball fan, as am I, and we deal with this on Selection Sunday all the time in college basketball. In your opinion specifically, how do you weigh good wins by some of those teams versus who was Georgia's other loss to? South Carolina?
Georgia's losses are to Alabama and Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, that's
Alabama
right.
Alabama by a touchdown late, in which everyone was like, wow, they looked really good.
Yeah, well, Georgia, after a bad start, they were down 28-0. They came back, and they were leading at the end. I mean, that.
But then their other losses, they lost by three scores at Ole Miss, where they got manhandled.
But Ole Miss lost to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And Alabama beats Georgia, but loses to Vandy. So in your opinion, what matters most? This is just you. What matters most? Playing tough people, getting some great wins, but slipping up a couple times, or being undefeated or one loss, but you really don't have a whole lot on your resume to point to?
It's a great question. It really is a great question, because part of me, you know, and I don't have an answer for it, Corey. I really don't, because part of me wants to lean in to quality wins and strength of schedule and everything, but it goes back to that imperfect science that we're talking about, where, like, you look at a team like, you look at Indiana. Again, if you hand me that schedule August 25th, a week before the season starts, and tell me Indiana going into Ohio State is going to be 10-0, which would include wins over the two teams that played in the national title game a year ago, and then going to Ohio State and beating some new Big Ten teams, I would have said, oh, my God, I'll take Indiana. Absolutely. They'll be not – and now we're having the schedule debate, and now we're having the conversation about it. So for me, I don't know. I don't know what I value more, because it changes year in and year out. But I would probably lean towards – the quality wins, because you're going to have to beat really good teams in the playoff. You're going to have to prove it that you can win 3-4 games against not cupcakes. Now, talk about the 5-12 and whoever's, you know, the ACC, Big 12, Mountain West representative. All right, that's fine, but you're still going to have to beat these really good teams. So I would probably lean towards that, but I don't blame Indiana for being 10-0 and not playing anyone, because for me, and this is where I'll go off on my, you know, it's always sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie pointing at the conspiracy theory board tangent. Indiana and Texas, there's not much difference. We're blaming Texas for beating nobody when their schedule that was made mostly years out by agreeing to play Michigan, who just made three straight college football playoffs, won a national title, and now that win is like, well, that's disgusting. That doesn't matter at all. And then their other hard game, they get embarrassed at home by Georgia. But it's Texas, and they're the third best team in the country.
See, that's that. There's the thing.
90% chance of getting in.
And that's where the human element comes into play, and the eye test. Texas has a bunch of NFL players. Texas has got NFL dudes everywhere. Indiana doesn't. Okay. And so this is where, you know, sometimes the math doesn't math. You know, and sometimes we look for criteria to try to explain scientifically. Sometimes we just know Texas has way better players than Indiana, right? I mean, because everybody keeps saying Texas, and I agree. Their resume is not great, not looking back on it anyway. But I look at Texas, and I'm like, they got so many good players. They pass the eye test. Indiana doesn't pass the eye test. Penn State.
Why didn't Indiana pass the eye test? Is my question.
Well, because their schedule, they literally beat nobody. I mean, at least Texas.
Okay, whoa. There's a difference here, and this is the fun of the discussion. Indiana, to me, has more of a right to get in than, and more benefit of the doubt than a Miami. Because Indiana, what do we always say when you play a weak schedule? What's the number one thing we always say? Well, if you play a weak schedule, we better dominate.
You better be blowing everybody out. Right. And Miami has not done that. You're right. Miami's not done. Indiana has.
And the number one thing you ask is blow everyone out. Indiana's margin of victory is 30 points per game. Miami needed, you know, and Miami's, in, you know, ranked 8th. They're the ACC front runner right now. But they're in front of Ole Miss and Georgia. Miami, you know, the loss against Georgia Tech is what it is. Georgia Tech's a lot better than people think. But then you're looking at, you survive against Cal, against Louisville, against Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. You look horrible against Duke at home.
Yep.
Until the second. So it's one of those things. Miami is a brand. Texas is a brand. Notre Dame, who has the worst loss of anyone in the top 10, that gets the benefit of the doubt over Indiana. So Indiana's done everything that's been asked of them so far. But it's still what we think is Indiana's lousy. We're going to find out how lousy Indiana is this week against Ohio.
What are you hoping for there? Are we hoping the Indiana story kicks in and they lose by 7 or 10 and they get in? Or are we hoping that they get slapped around and lose by 20 and they're done?
You ask people below the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah, right.
They'll go with option B. I mean, what I'm hoping for is, you know, the Big Ten guy, you know, and sure, I'll have a little Big Ten bias here, is Indiana wins. But if they don't win, that's a brawl, that's a close game where if Ohio State, you know, wins at the end by a touchdown, a last second, whatever it may be, that we can go, oh, okay, because we hold Ohio State in such high regard because they have the best, and I'm putting this in quotes for the radio audience, loss. Losing by one at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But then we say, oh, well, hey, there's benefit of the doubt. You know, they went into Penn State, won in Happy Valley, tough game. But then you flip that conversation around. It's, well, Penn State hasn't beaten anyone. Penn State's nothing. You know, they lost their one tough game. So it's just this for the Big Ten. You need Indiana to either win or have that game be really close to
– right.
Change any type of narrative.
And that's where Ohio State can totally screw the rest of the Big Ten. You know that?
Absolutely.
Ohio State could screw the Big Ten badly by beating Indiana by 24 points. If Ohio State just takes it a little easy. Hey, I Luke Ketrick from ABC affiliate down in Atlanta. As of right now, if the season ended today, Georgia would come up here to play Penn State on December 21st. You've covered Georgia. You've been around the program. You've been around Kirby Smart. What would a Georgia, and I got to say at, this isn't a neutral field, what would a Georgia at Penn State game look like on December 21st? Let's assume it's 40 to 45 degrees. Some Christmas is up here, it's 60 degrees. We've had it happen.
Yeah,
but let's assume it's 40 to 45 degrees. It's cold, a Southern team coming up. Would that impact Georgia? Carson Beck throws a whole bunch of interceptions. You know, that we hear Georgia doesn't have great wide receivers. Is ATN going to be fully healthy? What would a Georgia at Penn State matchup look like, Luke?
Yeah, and for the audience here, I'm going to assume that their assumption of this is going to be guy covers Georgia. He's going to go, well, Georgia's great. Georgia's won two national titles in the last 3 years. You know, we're a bad quarter away from Alabama from probably making it three, blah, blah, blah. That Georgia's just going to come up there and steamroll them. I'm not going to go that far, but I am going to say that I think Georgia just controls that game. You know, it is about matchups, and we always talk about this. Georgia has superior athletes to Penn State. Penn State's biggest problem is their lack of skill on the perimeter. Georgia would make that game ugly. Now, Penn State would be able defensively, probably, in my opinion, to hang around for a little bit, but that would be a Georgia cover. I looked at the line right now. The projected line would be Georgia -1.5. So you get 2.5 points, 3 points are just being at home. So they're saying we wouldn't be shocked.
So when you say Georgia would control the game, do you mean the lines of scrimmage on both sides physically? How do you see that?
Yeah, I think Georgia would just make it really, really hard for Penn State. I think it would be an extension of the Ohio State game. You know, Penn State matches up well with Ohio State. They do, you know, typically from the athlete front.
Does Georgia play more like Ohio State or Michigan?
Georgia plays more like Ohio State because they've had to with a bad offensive line this year. And it's a bad offensive line, not because of talent, but because of injury. And what people will think with that is, oh my gosh, Penn State with a good defensive front with Abdul Carter, Denai Dennis, Sutton, Vanover, they should be able to tee off on them. Well, that was your opportunity against a weak Ohio State offensive line. Again, weak in air quotes.
Right.
And outside of a couple Abdul Carter sacks, Ohio State was able to control the line of scrimmage in that game from an offensive line standpoint. So Georgia's best offensive lineman, Tate Ratledge, is now getting healthier. He's missed some time. He's had a bad ankle injury. They've had some shifts, but they got a lot of experience. And so that's where I think Georgia would control the game. Their lack of depth at running back would be a huge concern, but I think that would be a game where I wouldn't expect it to be in the 30s and 40s, but I think that would be a under 30 game. Georgia would control, probably win by 10 plus.
Now, I don't really disagree with anything you're talking.
I'm wrong on that. I am. As a Penn State fan, I hope I'm wrong, but I haven't seen enough to change my opinion that Penn State, from a receiver standpoint, can get separation against Georgia, whose weak spot is their cornerback play defensively, but they've gotten better late in the season. Tennessee was not able to throw down the field. I don't think Penn State will.
And again, I wouldn't disagree with anything you're talking about on a neutral field, but what about it's going to be a whiteout. They'll make it a whiteout. They'll, you know, if it's an afternoon, I guess it'll be a night game most likely, but it'll be. All right, so that conversation was a couple weeks ago before we, before Penn State got to 10-1, going to be 11-1 this week. So they're going to host a game. It won't be Georgia. It's going to be most likely Indiana as of right now. So as we get ready to close things up here, 946-0435, you want to join in, discuss anything that we have been talking about today, your favorite Penn State football memories. That was Lou Ketrick, by the way, from a few weeks ago. Some good discussion there. Favorite Penn State memories, or if you want to share what you're thankful for in the world of sports, we can do that as well. Again, I told the story earlier that Neil Riddell and I have point counterpoint columns in the Altoona Mirror today on our favorite Penn State memories. He went with the 86 national championship. I went with the 2016 victory over Ohio State. And what I was discussing earlier, I'll bring this up again, that there's kind of two distinct groups of Penn State fans. There's the older fan who can recall all the tremendous success 60s, 70s, 80s. But if you're under the age of 40, 45, what are you hanging your hat on? You barely remember 94, if at all. And so then you've only really kind of had some small pockets of success, 05, 08, then the scandal. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Corey, happy Thanksgiving. It's caller number two.
What's up, buddy? How you doing? I'm not going to ask you your favorite Penn State memory as an Ohio State fan, so what else you got, buddy?
Yes, you are.
Sure, what do you
yes,
got?
Yes, you are.
All right.
My favorite memory is 2018 when Haskins and Victor and KJ Hill came back from two touchdowns down with 5 minutes left, and then after two timeouts called, they ran Sanders into the line, and we won.
And after that game, James Franklin promised to make Penn State an elite program. They're not quite there yet. They could get there this week or this season. But that game, look, Penn State has competed very well against Ohio State. You know this. That game, Penn State,
you
kind of thought maybe they could win that. The year before, in 2017, they were up two scores late in Columbus. And what was it? JT Barrett completed like 16 passes in a row to come back and beat. There have been a lot of really good games in that series.
Yeah, that's my second favorite memory.
That's your second. What's your first favorite? The second favorite is the coming back from the 13-14 point deficit?
Yeah, the JT Barrett the year before. Those are both games I'd given up, and somehow Ohio State came back. And he did. I think he completed 16 passes, and he wasn't a very good passer.
Yeah, he was. I mean, you think of all these great quarterbacks Ohio State's had for a long time. I really loved JT in college, but, man, he just got worse as his career went on and really had no prayer at the NFL.
No, look at Fields. I mean, I don't know what goes on there. And now our buddy from Texas is he's kind of had a falling back. So I don't know what it is about the Buckeye quarterbacks, but
what do you think?
They do beat Ohio State.
What are you thankful for in the world of sports, man?
Oh my, world of sports. Just for everybody to be healthy and get through things and no major injuries.
I like it. I like it. Good stuff, brother. Happy Thanksgiving, my man. All right, we got a couple people calling in. We'll get you in here. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Corey, Chuck from Unionville.
Chuck, you got about 2 minutes, man. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, one of my best Penn State memories was 86 when
they beat Jimmy Johnson's Miami Hurricanes. They were coming off a plane in camo and crew cuts, and Penn State was coming off in suits and ties, and they put a licking on them on the field. And it was just phenomenal to see Paterno's way go over top of Jimmy Johnson. One of the things I am thankful for about sports is today, this year in free agency, the New York teams are actually crying about how much the Los Angeles Dodgers are spending in free agency.
That's right.
And you know what? That's the only thing that's going to bring about a salary cap in baseball. The only thing that we have a hope for.
That's a great thought, Chuck, is that if the Dodgers are just so far ahead of everybody that the Yankees and the Red Sox cry poor. But you know as well as I do that salary cap will still be four times what the Pirates are paying.
Well, then, you know what? As long as there's revenue sharing, though, there is always revenue sharing in that. And, you know, we don't, as a Pirates fan, we're not looking for a World Series. We just want to see them be able to put some level of competitive team on the field relative to draft picks. We can make the playoffs or we can make a dent in the playoff world. Hey, we're good with that. You know, we're not even doing that. And that's, there's a double-edged sword. But, brother, when the Yankees and the Mets and the Cubs are crying about the disparity in free agency, brother, that's happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas. Right,
I
there.
Love it. I'd not thought of that, but that actually could get some stuff done.
It absolutely could. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We'll close up. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Steve Altoona.
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Fantastic. I just wanted to bring up real quick, at least first round, what I don't want them to do, like this whole Georgia possibly play Tennessee,
yeah.
Penn State play Indiana. It's understandable by the time you get to the quarterfinals that you're probably going to have the same conference team play each other. But I would rather see Penn State play a Tennessee or a Georgia,
yeah.
And Indiana play a Georgia and a Tech, because then that would be kind of solve this whole debate as far as which is better, SEC, Big Ten, because if you just have the same teams in conference, SEC against SEC, first round, and a Big Ten team against another Big Ten team, it's really not proven anything. So
I am completely with you. I don't want to see Penn State, Indiana. I think you are right, but I don't think anything can be done about it, because here's what the more rules you start making, there's only 12 teams. And right now they've got these stupid rules that seeds have to go to conference champions. You're going to have garbage conference champions in those 3 and 4 seeds. And so if you're Penn State, you get to the second round, you get to face Miami. Miami isn't really all that good. So, but if you start to build in parameters, if you can't do this, you can't do that, I'm not sure how they would field the tournament, because if you end up having seven teams from the Big Ten and the SEC, it'll be almost impossible to not have them play at least somewhere along the way in the first round.
True. Yep. Well, that's all I got.
Good stuff, man. Good take on that. I appreciate it. All right. That's about going to wrap things up for us today. Once again, want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone. No show tomorrow. Enjoy the holiday. We're not going to do a show on Friday either. But we will be back coming up on Monday to recap Penn State's regular season finale against Indiana. Steelers playing this weekend against the Bengals. That's going to be a tough game. We'll get to all that on the show Monday. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Really thankful everybody tunes in every day.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona. Hank is WKMC.